lot of negatives, but a lot of positives, because the thing is, we're able to educate now, you know, globally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though it might be different currency and different guidelines, business is business, and understanding how to grow it and come out and know that one no doesn't mean there's not a yes out there. There's all sorts of different arms and tools to grow.
Welcome to the Women Choosing Growth podcast, where we bring you practical advice and guidance on how to grow your business and achieve success in your entrepreneurial journey. We feature inspiring stories of success, challenges of growth, and lessons learned from women entrepreneurs, industry experts, and thought leaders who have been through the growing pains inevitable as an entrepreneur. Whether you are just getting started or are looking to scale up your business, our show is designed to provide you with the tools, resources, and community you need to grow your business. Join your host, Tina, a lifelong entrepreneur and business growth advisor, as we explore topics such as marketing, sales, finance, leadership, and personal growth, all tailored specifically to the needs of women entrepreneurs. So if you're ready to grow your business faster and smarter and learn from the experiences of those who have traveled the growth path before you, then this podcast is for you. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get started.
Welcome back to the show, ladies. Today's guest is Courtney Murray, CEO and founder of Coastal Capital, with a K, one of the leading women-owned financial services provider. She is a self-made business owner in the finance space, where she helps companies with their funding for growth. Courtney and her team are on a mission to uplift women in business and show them how to build their own empire. And it all starts with financial literacy. Welcome to the show, Courtney.
Thank you so much, Tina. I'm excited to be here.
Courtney, you've been on many stages, TV shows, NASDAQ, co-author of Women Gone Wild book series. So it's safe to say that you have definitely made some impact in the world and getting some attention from coast to coast. And yes, that pun was intended.
I like it.
Yeah. But I know from us talking in the past that your journey to this success where you're at today has not been all roses, has it?
Absolutely not. I think that that's always the journey of entrepreneurs, at least most of them. So it's definitely been some rocky waters.
Yes. Do you mind sharing with our listeners of what your beginning of entrepreneur journey looked like and how you got to start your current business?
Sure. I have kind of a funny story. So I love clothing. And as I was growing up, even when I was a kid, I absolutely loved fashion. And so in seventh grade, I came home and had taken this elective shop. Little did I know it was woodworking. Came home, told my mother I signed up for shop. She put her head down on the steering wheel of a car and just her shoulders were shaking. And I was like, what is so funny? I'm going to learn how to use credit cards and blah, blah, blah.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, no, you're not, honey. You're really not going to do this. And so throughout my whole life as a child, I always wanted to own a clothing store since I was a kid. I mean, anything I could do to buy clothes, shoes, whatever. And I've always been big into fashion. And so when I was 20, I actually sold heavy equipment. I sold mortgage. I sold a lot of different things. I was in sales that it carried me from Michigan to Atlanta to San Diego. And while I was out there in the mortgage industry, I had to go visit some brokers' offices. And I still was on a journey of becoming an entrepreneur, but you have to have some change in your pocket to open, you know, any sort of mm-hmm. entrepreneurship. And so I knocked on this door right next door to this woman who owned this store called the Cuckoo Caterpillar. And
cute name.
It was a clothing store. It was really cute. It was on the Coast Highway in San Diego. And I walked in and she was 9 months pregnant. And I said, I love this, that you have this little boutique. This has been my dream my whole life. And she's like, do you want to buy the store? And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, the universe is speaking to me and I have no money, but yes, I want to buy your store. And so, my first entry into entrepreneurship, I was young. I did not know how to even run a cash register. I didn't know what a merchandise. I actually started by going into TJ Maxx and marking things up and calling it one of a kind. I was like, someone is going to believe this, you know, we are going to find where to merchandise. And, you know, I've always been someone that, you know, I take a risk before I understand what the risk is. And when I was 20, I didn't have credit established. And I was brought up in understanding if, you know, there's banks out there that you can borrow money from, but you have to have established credit, blah, blah, blah. Well, I probably had a credit card for $300 and I had some money in my pocket and I ended up paying cash for everything in the store, meaning everything that I merchandise over the 3 years that I was in business. I paid cash for my sign outside that was like $15,000, all of the racking, everything that I did in the store, you pay for it. And in San Diego, I'm sure everybody's privy to, we have fires. And so there was a lot of smoke damage at that time from the fires. It was a really inexpensive store that used to be a guy who shaped surfboards. And I had no insurance on the store. I didn't have any insurance on the clothing there because it was a really unique boutique. And it wouldn't have passed for insurance inspection. And so with that said, I didn't have any credit established. I was a sole proprietorship. So I commingled my personal and business credit because I didn't know that you could actually separate the two of them. And so I was, my federal tax ID number was my social and everything was put under my social. And I have very minimal lines. And so as I had the smoke damage happen in the store, I realized I can't replace the clothing. And at that time I had to close the doors, but not only that, after I closed the doors, I damaged my credit. And so I have no fear of telling anyone that. I was in my 20s. It was something that was really a horrible time because I failed at something I absolutely wanted to understand and be successful at. But not only that, that failure for me at that time, I didn't let it really define me, I guess I would say, because not only did I ruin my credit, but I also had a tax lien that I didn't know would come along with the sales tax that was due on the store products. And so I'm learning all these things as it's happening. And I think, how am I going to get myself out of this? Well, I ended up taking a position in equipment finance and understanding, I started understanding that, you know, I'm a salesperson. I can make some money doing this. When I realized what it was that I was doing, I started becoming really passionate about the understanding and the literacy of business finance. And that happened, 2003. And since then, I have been in this industry. I opened up in second entrepreneurship in 2007, which was my maiden name, and a leasing company. And then 2008 hit and I went back to work until 2010 and reestablished. Coastal Capital opened at that point and I've never looked back. But during that journey, there was a lot of failures and a lot of learning curves for me because I had to understand how to get my credit back and, established and really, I learned the hard way. And so my journey is to really help women never be in the position I was in because nobody teaches you this in school. So no, that's
not
the short.
Even the best of finance classes or yes, exactly.
Absolutely not. Absolutely and it's like, not. You know, my parents didn't even know the credit was established in 1958 by, Bill Fair and Earl Isaac. And these are the things that we, in 1958, our parents were just, young. And so at that time, the establishment of credit really was still pretty new. And so how are they going to be, how are they going to teach us in schools? And so I think that that's what people forget. It still hasn't been around for all this many years and it defines so many, but it really doesn't have to if you can understand the differences.
Yeah. And if we look at different generations, different generations definitely look at credit completely differently. Like my 20 some year old children look at it differently than what my parents did too. And people in my age group.
Yeah. No. Did you ever see the thing on girl money?
Yes. I've referenced girl math, yes, right? Girl math.
Girl math. Yes.
The sad thing is like, I agree to some of that girl math.
Yeah, of course.
If it's cash, it's already gone. It's even if it's in your purse, right? It's not in your bank account anyway.
That's why we never carry it, right?
We don't, right. Yeah. And I think this is going to be so important for people to listen to because I am also a big financial literacy. Like I've been teaching my kids from early on about how not to, what credit is for, when to use it, when not to use it. So I think it's definitely some great education to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really important. And I think that there's not enough education out there on it. And there's so many people. One of the things during COVID that's so amazing is this Zoom that everybody started using Zoom. And it's like, there was some, you know, a lot of negatives, but a lot of positives, because the thing is, we're able to educate now, you know, globally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though it might be different currency and different guidelines, business is business, and understanding how to grow it and come out and know that one no doesn't mean there's not a yes out there. There's all sorts of different arms and tools to grow.
Yeah. And as a salesperson at heart, you know that you need several no's to get to that one yes. So no's actually are good. You're that much closer to the yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So I know you work with a ton of women, and your business started with heavy equipment, which probably was not a ton of women.
Right.
But your company has progressed into different ways of this financial literacy and the lending and all the pieces of that. So talk about women specifically. What are some of the challenges that you see that women face when it comes to financing, and specifically like growing their business, getting their business to the next level? And I say that because I was a bootstrapper, because I don't like debt. And so I know in my early journey, when I didn't know a thing about business either, and I was just, you know, growing like a snail, although growing because I didn't want to spend the money. And it was one of these pivotal moments when someone said to me, Tina, you have to spend money to make money. And I wanted to throat punch the guy. And yeah, it's true. You do. You have to be strategic about it. So I'd imagine that there's these kind of hurdles that you see women facing. So would love to hear what some of those are.
Sure. And I truly believe, and now I believe more than anything, that you can't grow without OPM, which is other people's money.
Love OPM.
And one of the biggest changes for me, and yes, being in the construction side of things and the heavy equipment and kind of a man's world, mm-hmm. I realized that there are a lot of women in that industry that are not being touched. And a lot of women, we bootstrap, or we've been through something that we don't want to have something define us. And so mm-hmm. I did this, I actually had a speaking event with a lot of women veterans. And I realized that there was a real need. There were women veterans who had started businesses, women veterans who had been basically stay-at-home mothers while their husbands were away or serving. And then I started looking at a lot of my friends who had either been in a relationship, been through a divorce, been a stay-at-home mother, started maybe a home-based business, didn't know, even podcasters. I have friends now who are podcasters, didn't know that they could buy all of their equipment and not put the cash outlay. And you could actually have your equipment pay as you were making money doing what you love to do. Mm-hmm. And so I started realizing that it's not because of saying no to women all the time. And in like in private equity and in venture capital, there's just not enough that has been dispersed to women. But when it comes to financing, there's not enough women who have applied for the right type of financing or the right type of loan product. And so it's not from lack of saying yes, it's from lack of application flow. And what I'm realizing is because a lot of women, and mostly the ones I've met through the book series and the things that I've been doing on stage, they will go to private equity or somebody to lend them money first. And so they'll give away equity a lot of times mm-hmm. before they actually try to do it themselves, because they may have not established credit on their own and they think everything's tied to the personal credit. They don't understand that they can build, if they separate and protect themselves with an LLC or an S corporation or some other structure that's not a sole proprietorship, that they can actually structure it and build onto their business and separate it from commingling their personal credit. Yep. And so they don't have to be defined by their personal credit. It's two separate scores. And so a lot of women, and even some of the most established businesses, because we fund up to 30 million for, you know, large projects, people with established business who have bootstrapped or had the money, they get to a point where they need to borrow as well. We have a gentleman right now that does things for Homeland Security, and he has to borrow, but he's a $50 million business and has never had to borrow before. And so not just education for, the people that we currently work with, but the women out there don't know that there are different options. And so I think that there is a factor of nobody wants to have the debt, but if you find the right type of debt, you can grow strategically. And I always like to say, I have a very unbelievable client. She went from a $1,200 dorm room idea to a $450 million value company in 4 years.
Love that. But
she was amazing. And she's the food truck that started in a tent, and she marketed her product. And I believe that currency, collaboration is really the new currency. And so once you collaborate and you can grow with, other women, uplifting mm-hmm. women, you can start building a brand, and that can be for free. You can build your own brand. If there's not a door, you create one, right? As mm-hmm. women, we do that. And so I think together, we can really educate one another on the different arms and tools of financing. And that's where we see a lot of women not getting the funding that they need because they're not applying the right ways. They're applying to a bank and the bank might say no because they're looking at this credit score. And that's a boxy criteria that I don't believe in. We have to bring the human factor back.
Yes. And I have some PTSD from the first time I went to the bank too. And it didn't have anything to do with my score, but the fact that I was a woman. So I still am slightly angry about that. And it was, my business was already established and cash flowing. I just needed more because of AR. And I've told that story on podcast before, but that was one of those defining moments for me too. It was a white haired old man who's like, yes. Literally, why do you deserve this? You don't have any experience other than the 6 months that I had been crushing it already.
Yes.
Cause you're a young woman. I was in my 20s and I was like, I will never bank here again.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the white hair old man is everyone I work with in my industry. So, and God love him, right? But, there are things that we have to do to progress. And it's so important that, women really understand the benefits of financing, because if you don't have a good tax strategist that's helping you get the massive tax implication, you have a tax strategist, they're supposed to help you get your mass write-offs. And yep. The interest can be a benefit if you're a service-based business. And mm-hmm. so banks are good at lending money, but they're not understanding the type of equipment or the money that you need. And they don't know, like with alternative lending, there's so many different ways to raise that funding. And so it doesn't have to be giving away equity. You can raise debt. You can also mm-hmm. apply for asset loan, a deferral loan. There's all sorts of different things, but people just don't teach that.
Yes. And I think it's important to reiterate that, the reason for your loan, it can be essentially a million different things. Like in my case, it was because I was successful. I was providing all these services with contracts that we're going to pay at a 90-day pace. That's how the contract works. So it's like, I'm literally successful and you won't give me the money to grow, versus other people need it to add on lines of business, or like, how often would you say it is for growth versus like, I feel like in the olden days, it was like, oh, my business can't make enough cash, so I need to go to the bank and get more. Like I haven't seen that. What is your thoughts?
No, it's most of the time it is for growth. But if you go to a bank with a 90-day, a contracts, you should be actually looking for factoring for those receivables. And so mm-hmm. a bank is going to offer you that factoring.
Literally, yeah.
for a loan. Well, a loan isn't your...
It's a line of credit.
Is even what you should be looking for that. You should be getting the, factoring on the receivables at that point. And that's where education comes in. And banks just offer one product there. Most of the time we don't see, in my industry, there's a lot of people who might say, yes, we'll do this deal. But if somebody's coming to take from Peter to pay Paul, we don't want to do business like that. We want to help them stay in business. And so if they're looking for an expansion, we most of the time, that's who we help. If they're just looking for a Band-Aid because they have contracts out there, then we'll put them in a product that works for them. So. Right.
Are you an accomplished woman business owner with a story to tell? Do you crave a platform where you can share your journey, the good, the bad, and the ugly? Hey everyone, it's Tina here. If you're fans of the show, then you know we are a show that celebrates the strengths and resilience of women entrepreneurs just like you. As we're getting this podcasting community going, I thought it would be fitting to extend an invitation to apply to join me as a guest on our Top 100 podcast platform. I started Women Choosing Growth because I believe that real growth happens when we come together and share our expertise and our experiences. We want to hear your inspiring stories, the challenges you face, and the lessons you've learned on your entrepreneur journey. Whether you've triumphed over adversity or faced setbacks head on, your story has the power to inspire and empower other women just like you. This platform is for you to showcase your achievements, highlight your expertise, and create meaningful connections within our community. So if you're a fearless woman business owner, unafraid to open up about your path to success, we want you on our show. Go to www.womenchoosinggrowth.com and join our community. From there, you'll be given the chance to fill out the short application. If you believe that you have a story to share, then why not? Once again, it's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. I can't wait to feature more amazing and talented women in this community. Now, back to the show.
One of the things I know you pride yourself on, you and your team, is really looking beyond, like you said, the credit score or beyond the business or kind of the surface level stuff. So what is it that that you do look at and that other people who are looking for growth money, I call it, know that if someone isn't asking kind of the same questions or looking at it the way that you and your team does, that they might not be with the right lender. So what do you look at?
So we really look at the human, putting the human factor back in it. I personally, our algorithm here, we really like to look at the sweat equity of the business. And so we like to make sure that the person's involved, that they're actually working their business, that they've worked the positions in their business. Maybe they're starting up, but they've had history. It's like you might have a attorney who has an 800 credit score, but he's opening a pizzeria or she's opening a pizzeria. I don't know if you can make a pizza. So, you know, that might be higher risk to me than somebody with a 600 credit score who has been making pizzas for 20 years because we have a risk factor in that. And so we really look at the depth of the knowledge that they have in their industry. If they have contractual work, the credit score, you know, we obviously like somebody who pays their bills and things like that, but we'll take a credit score that's median if we have cash flow, because we really like the story. And so I always say, I like to call a story time lending. It's kind of a funny name to say, but we really like to put the human factor back into lending. And so I like to get a story for each of my clients. And it's like, that's where I really believe that brand and, you know, branding yourself and brand currency goes a long way, because it's funny. We've had people who have come in initially and have been turned down, but then I will go to bat and say, look, this is the brand. This is what they're doing. And they're like, oh, wow, I didn't look up this brand. You know, this is our credit processor who's sitting in the back crunching numbers. But if you give them a story, then they can feel more comfortable because that person's working the business. I mean, it's just like Google. Google has changed. They like a face with the business. They don't want just a blank website. They want somebody, you're not going to rank unless you have some sort of scoring on Google, whether it's analytics or their web panel or, you know, your website. And it's just like that. We're really moving into an era because there's so many, AI and all these different social media platforms. We're moving into an era where people want the human factor and the human touch back. And that's the one thing that everybody, I think, is agreeable on. And that's the thing that the bank still doesn't do. They're still underwriting with an algorithm from the 50s.
Someone sitting in the back corner.
Absolutely.
In a physical building of all things.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And you know, there's all these things online that you can apply. And then if you're turned down, you're like, oh, I was turned down. Well, you didn't have a human helping you and educating you, that it just really takes an application, a story, and just to show a little bit of revenue for the last 3 months, or even if you're starting up, just show that you have a history. It's not that hard to apply and have somebody help you along the lines of what type of good money there is out there. Because even if you don't qualify for one of our lines, there's private equity out there. There's venture capitalist money. There's grant money out there that, you know, if you're a business, you should be applying for 3 or 4 grants a month. Get a grant writer. Go to Fiverr and get a grant writer if you are not an established business and you have a little bit of money in your pocket to start something. You know, you don't have to start big, start small.
Mm-hmm. And I think to reiterate what you said about, you know, people now buy from people they know, trust, and love. So if they don't know you, your business, they don't have that face with the story. It's like, and buying is sort of in my mind, the same thing as like lending. If I don't know you, and you just like sent me an email that said like, send me, you know, this much cash to some other country's bank account. You know, it's kind of like that, like no one's going to do that. So
right.
I think it's super important.
It is scary. I had, yesterday I had 3 credit pulls, they attempted, and I've never had my credit taken. And I have a lock on my credit, but I had 3 people attempt to pull my credit and I have not applied for anything. And it's scary out there. You know, whatever you're doing out there, you definitely want to create the human factor and protect yourself. So
interesting. Also scary. Yes. I have protection on my credit too.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about women who are listening and who have maybe not thought about getting financing to grow. What are some of the success stories, or what can you share with someone who's listening and thinking like, who is like me? I didn't want to take on debt in order to get to the next level. I was growing. I know now with my education and 27 years later, man, I could have grown so much faster if I didn't want to throat punch that man who said I had to spend money to make money. So what kind of advice for those who are thinking right now?
So there's a lot to do to start. I mean, you can make little moves to start. And really first protect yourself under an entity, whether it's an LLC, an S corporation, protect yourself and get an EIN. It has the same digits as your social. Use that to start establishing whether it's your phone bill or your electricity bill, start establishing a credit score under your business credit model. When you get to that and you know that you're a growing business, you want to establish some sort of comparable debt on your credit. And the thing is, people don't have to finance everything. If you want to go and pay cash for something in your business, that's fine. But you're creating a path that doesn't grow your credit. So let's say you're buying, let's say you're a woman and you need a vehicle. Let's say you deliver something.
Just thinking the same example. Yep.
So you're buying a depreciating item, but it's different than buying a personal item because you're creating ROI with it. So you're having a return on your investment. What kind of money are you making with that vehicle to do your deliveries? And then you have to put it into a format of how much can you write off with that vehicle? So in that working year, if you're a very successful entrepreneur and you're cash flowing, you have to have a nice deduction. And with a traditional finance, when you're purchasing it, you can only write off your depreciation. But with alternative lending, you can write off your payment and the tax over the term, or you can take the full deduction on your Section 179. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense to everyone listening, but you can start small. So you can basically not only finance a vehicle, but you could finance just your sign outside. It's like, I always think if that sign outside is $10,000, that payment's going to be so small. Utilize it, write off your interest, and start building your business credit. Maybe you just want to finance your computers. That will start establishing business credit. But then when you get your PayNet score up there, you can actually borrow as you go for cheaper dollars. And I think that is the biggest thing for women who are listening, is that just take a chance on starting to build that business credit. Because let's say you become super successful and you need an additional write-off and you want to buy your building, you want to protect that under a business entity as well. Yes. And so, you know, smart businesses have the cash flow to invest in other businesses. Wealthy entrepreneurs use that cash to invest in other businesses. You wouldn't hire an employee and give them all of their pay up front. You would pay them as they work for you. So let your equipment make money for you as you go, and make sure that you're financing a necessity, not an accessory. So if you don't need it, maybe you think about it, or maybe you pay cash. But if you need it and it's going to produce income, that's when I always say, look at your cash outlay versus a small payment, because that payment can really get you to that tax deduction, and that cash can get you to your next opportunity. Cash is king in a business. And if you're not cash flowing, that's when you have issues. And when you're desperate for the money is when you don't qualify for it. So you always want to keep that cash in your pocket and start growing slowly. If it scares you, do it on a small level. You can finance everything from your, I mean, you name it, these small little assets in your business, even if you're a home-based business, like I said, your podcast equipment, your microphones. I mean, it might not be that much, but you can do just a loan for $5,000. From that, you grow to $10,000. From that, you grow to $15,000. And then you don't have all that cash out there that is working on a depreciating item.
Yes. And I think everything that you mentioned there also applies to non-equipment type growth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But you're scaling in the ROI, like you said. I've done this with several clients, and we've talked about it in other episodes about, like, if you're an established business, you're cash flowing, you want to take it to the next level and maybe hire additional sales reps or
absolutely
even support people who aren't necessarily bringing in revenue. But if you can do the plan, right? You have to have a plan to see when you're going to get that return on investment. Like you said, you're not paying those people a year's worth of salary up front. Absolutely. So there is a little cash dip, but that's where I think established several years in, they're rocking and rolling, but not taking that next level, because it does sometimes take an additional chunk of money.
It does.
To hire those type of people.
There are lines of credit. There are short-term bridge. If you're buying product, let's say you're buying product and like your clothing store, and you're buying for season, maybe it's holidays or whatever, and you know that you're going to have an influx, then that's a great way and tool to start establishing business credit as well and utilizing that. But a lot of people for hiring, that's a very great tool. And also for advertising and marketing. So you might, let's say you did pay cash and you bought this beautiful laser equipment and you have this med spa and then you have no money to market it. How does anybody know that you have it? And so there's also money you can take out for marketing. We've done a lot for book authors and stage appearances and events that people put on. So people don't think about that. They just think that we'll wait till the ticket sales come and we'll put all this money out there, but then they're cash strapped. And a lot of people put back in what they have made because they want to grow, and it does leave them in that position. So, you know, there's nothing that you can't apply for.
Yeah. And I think this brings me back to something I say all the time is, like, think bigger, think uncomfortably. So yes, for those of you listening right now, think about what could, if money wasn't an object, if it wasn't a barrier, if Courtney was going to hand you whatever you wanted today, what would your business look like? Right. Because then go build that vision and figure out what you need in order to get it, because chances are it's some kind of investment to get to that, you know, multiple steps from where you're at today. And I think then if people can think comfortably and say, like, okay, there are options out there for me, as long as I have the plan and the strategy to get there, then most of the time with good credit and a good plan and a nice story and some history, like, you can make that happen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it's a very quick process. People think it's a lengthy process because the SBA takes so long, but that's not true. I mean, we have applications come in the morning. We fund by the afternoon, mostly if it's cash. And so it's a very quick process if they are already cash flowing and want to grow. And so, you know, at that point, you just have to ask and get the type of advocate, whether it's me or someone else out there. Just make sure that you're working with somebody that's human, that understands what they're talking about, not just one source. You know, do your due diligence as a woman, get out there and figure out the right type of money. There's all sorts of different type of lending scenarios out there. And so don't fall short of it. Get out there and ask the questions and get with someone else that has done it before you. I always say, if you want to become a millionaire, you better not have a whole Rolodex of, you know, thousandaires. You better be able to text everybody in your phone, and they better be at that level, because if not, you're not hanging out with the right people who are going to push you and uplift you forward.
I love that. Absolutely. So, My final advice to women listening is to don't be like I was, where I was afraid to spend to get to the next level. So I encourage everyone to really dream big and plan for what your business could be, and then find what you need to close that gap. And Courtney and her company may be that. What are your final words to our listeners?
Don't be like me and just flail all over with this clothing store with no backup. I should have financed some things and I would have had enough money to replenish the store at the time. And everything that happens, happens for a reason. Yes. It's definitely a learning experience, but don't let a no define you. Keep going for that yes. Sometimes it takes a little bit of additional, you know, perseverance and grit, but there's no reason not to go for it because there will be a yes out there if you continue and believe in your mission and vision.
You're doing it right if you're a little uncomfortable, right?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate so much having you here today, and we will have all of your contact information in the show notes so people can reach out to you, even if it's just for some education and some steering in the right direction. So definitely on behalf of everyone listening, appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please be sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. The Woman Choosing Growth Show is not just another podcast. It's a tribe of women helping each other grow. So please, share this podcast with all the women entrepreneurs that you would love to see succeed. If you'd like to know more about customized business advising through Cultivate Advisors, download business tools, or sign up for upcoming events, visit www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Once again, that's www.womenchoosinggrowth.com. Remember, we are in this together. See you on the next one.